Some years ago, I was fortunate enough to be invited to be a guest preacher on vinyl hanging. In exchange for leading worship and preaching a sermon, being available in case there was any pastoral care emergency, my family and I were given use of a parsonage. We had a lovely August week on the island. And as one would expect, we found lighthouses and lobster boats, beautiful views of Penobscot Bay, winding roads. It was a delightful experience. But as I think back to that week, I remember the unexpected discovery. It was the looming stone eagle down at the waterfront. This bird was a refugee, one of the 16 remaining eagle statues from Pennsylvania Station in New York City. And I refer not to the architectural mediocrity that one now finds beneath Madison Square Garden, but instead to McKim, Mead, and White's Beaux-Arts masterpiece. Most of the eagles can now be found in New York and its environs, but this particular specimen made its way down east because it was on Vinyl Haven that much of the granite for the station had been quarried. We'll leave aside the fact that the eagle itself was actually made of marble. It's still a beautiful piece of artwork, and it also offers mute testimony to one of the great acts of cultural vandalism in American history. Penn Station was demolished in 1963, the year before I was born. My experience with entering New York through that particular gateway is instead with the contemporary version. A place that has low ceilings, inadequate lighting, poor traffic patterns, insufficient amenities for travelers. It is a Stygian place. Vincent Scully, the Yale architectural historian, observed that one entered the city like a god, referring to the old Penn Station. Referring to its successor, he observed, one scuttles in now like a rat. I have had that experience of being a rat, along with tens of thousands of others in Midtown Manhattan. The best word to describe this place, particularly when the weather is foul and the trains are delayed, is purgatory. Fortunately for us, while there is a man-made purgatory to be found at 33rd and 8th in New York City, there is not, contrary to centuries of Christian teaching, a purgatory to be found in God's creation. Not in God's cosmos will one find some kind of celestial waiting room where we go to be purged and scourged and cleaned up before we are ready to enter into the presence of God. I bring all of this up because today is All Saints' Day. And we remember those in the faith who have gone before us. And this is a chance for us to reflect on the church's teaching around what it means to be a saint. What do we have to do to achieve this exalted status? The Reformation and the Protestant tradition dispensed with the notion of purgatory. Yet the idea that somehow we may not quite be up to snuff has persisted, as has the notion that the entire Christian enterprise is all about living our lives in some particular way so that when we die, we will go to heaven. And that will be the end of the story. Now, my job as your preacher is to come up here and to tell you something about the gospel, to share the good news. And so here is the good news. Each and every one of us, by dint of our baptism, by dint of our desire to be a Christian, can be a saint. There is no test. There are no set of qualifications. We don't need to despair thinking, I will never be like Peter or Paul or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr. Sainthood is a pretty broad category of existence within the Christian life. So, whether famous or forgotten, people of the past were saints. And indeed, people today, right here, look around you, are saints. The impulse to develop a theology around purgatory to suggest it is hard to be saved by God is a reflection of a very human tendency to start erecting barriers and rules and regulations. But if we listen to our scripture lessons carefully this morning, we will have seen that our God isn't looking to narrow entry into his presence, but instead is demolishing barriers. Did you hear those words from Revelation about a new heaven and a new earth? There is no distinction between heaven and earth. It is all God's kingdom. And did you hear the story from John about Lazarus? The dead man raised. The evangelist notes that Lazarus had been gone for 4 days. He wanted it to be really clear. This wasn't someone just in a coma. This was someone dead and beginning to rot and smell. And guess what? That was not an impediment to God. God makes all things new. God makes you and me new. God equips us through the church, through scripture, to become saints. Not because we are seeking to die and go to heaven, but because we and all those who have come before us and those who will follow us are part of an unfolding miracle. And that is the advent of God's new creation. When we read the New Testament, we hear about resurrection. That's for everyone in the Christian family. So the story for those who have gone before us is not done, just as the story is not done for us. And there are some here who will interpret resurrection literally and others metaphorically, but the bottom line is the story is not done. And we can draw from the past and the examples of those we have known or heard about or read about or sung about to prepare ourselves for the future. To prepare ourselves, to enable us to be disciples. Through our worship and our words and our fellowship and our service, we'll do our part to bring about the new creation. Now, I think back to those eagles. And yes, they are tangible reminders of an act of aesthetic barbarism. But they're also symbols of something bigger and greater. They're reminders of possibility, of what we can achieve. There is talk, admittedly, there's been talk for a long time, about converting the James A. Farley Post Office in New York, the sister building to the old Penn Station, into a new train station. It's an opportunity, perhaps, to make amends. And as I think about the destruction of the old Penn Station, I'm reminded of the dynamic that it has worked in the Christian life. We can make mistakes. Indeed, we all will make mistakes. We can mess up. We will sin. But the story isn't over. We have the chance to make amends. We can learn from the past. Indeed, it was the destruction of Penn Station that gave rise to the modern preservation movement in this country and directly led to the saving of Grand Central Terminal. And if you ever arrived by train there, you know there is still an opportunity to come into Manhattan like a god, into a beautiful place that feeds the spirit, that speaks of possibility. The saints, those who have come before us, those who are with us here today, are journeying with us. They're not a musty dead letter. They are alive, offering us inspiration and encouragement and a reminder of what it is we can achieve when we trust in God. So this All Saints Day, as we come before the table and share the meal that Jesus has given us, as we later retire to the parish hall and engage in fellowship, as we leave this place to go about our lives, let us remember that first hymn we sang today, with its call and its desire that I and you want to be a saint too. And if we need a reminder, we can think back to those stone eagles, which offer an enduring, solid reminder of God's power and God's grace and God's love.